We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Sooner Sports Podcast, presented by Riverwind Casino, still the one, and by Allstate, proud partner of Oklahoma Athletics. Now, here's Chris Plank.
Oh, let's go. Welcome into the Sooner Sports Podcast on a Sunday. A complete and total recap of the Sooners' 40-35 win over Tulane from a sound perspective. Let's see, who all do we have for you today? I've got Lincoln Riley, Nick Benito, Gabe Berkich, Alex Grinch, Marvin Mims, Spencer Rattler, Lincoln Riley, and Eric Gray. Now, if you listen to the Sooner Sports Podcast, the radio network postgame show, you heard from all of those guys except Spencer, which we'll kick off the pod with next. I added Eric Gray in so you can hear that interview because I thought it was fantastic. But I can get some of the frustration in the way that the Sooners played in the second half, and Lincoln Riley will talk about that quite a bit. But I thought a lot about a conversation I was having with Bobby Carpenter, and I'm not trying to name drop by any stretch of the imagination, but Bobby was an NFL standout with the Cowboys, All-American at Ohio State. He and I do a Saturday morning show on ESPNU, and he brought up how this opening weekend was as fascinating of an opening weekend as he can ever remember. Not because of massive matchups, not because the crowd's back, but just of the unknown with the expanded rosters, with, you know, guys that are 24, 20, 20, some 25 years old that are in college and playing, and some of these mid-majors who have now had guys that are back, and even the FCS team. So we saw it play out, I think, where there were a lot of surprising scores yesterday. Now, in no way is this meant to try to say, well, it was okay what happened in the second half of the Oklahoma-Tulane game. And I think what you'll hear from Lincoln Riley and many others, they're not happy either in getting outscored 21-3 in that second half and having a 37-14 halftime lead than having to hold on for dear life. I think the point is, more than anything else, this is shaping up to be a pretty wild college football season. A little bit of everything could be on the table. I mean, let's just look at the top 25. Iowa State needed a hold late to beat Northern Iowa. The final score in that game was 16-10. Penn State upsets Wisconsin 16-10. How about Washington getting beat by Miami 13-7 in a team that not a lot of people have been talking about? UCLA unranked just smokes LSU, outscoring them 14-7 in the fourth, and beating them 38-27. You look across the top 25. What was it? Eastern Tennessee beats an SEC school. Just a lot of odd. So I think the point more than anything else is it's never going to be a smooth ride. You're going to take the dub when you can get it, because it's always better to win than it is to lose. But as you'll hear throughout this podcast and you'll hear throughout these interviews, Oklahoma knows it needs to get better, and I think they're going to. So let's kick things off with the Sooner starting quarterback, Spencer Rattler.
Hey, Spencer, just generally, how would you assess your own performance today and then the team generally?
Yeah, I thought the first half, you know, obviously the first, you know, down the field throw, thought I could put it in a window. You know, I was thinking that safety was going to come off. Safety made a great play on the ball. You know, Marv didn't see him. We just got to be better on that.
I think you're muted, Spencer.
Oh, yeah, here. My bad. First half, I thought, you know, we did well. You know, obviously the whole game we didn't play amazing, but, you know, first throw down the field, you know, safety, I thought he was going – dropping deeper, I threw the ball. There was a hole. He made a great play on the ball. We didn't connect on that. Probably should have dumped it down. After that, I felt like we rolled pretty well. You know, consistently just kind of hitting those seams up the middle. You know, our run game was solid. O-line was blocking well. And then in the second half, we just came out a little casual. You know, first of all, shout out to Tulane, even for coming down here. You know, I appreciate those guys for coming down here and playing us with everything going on where they're from. And that's a tough team. I mean, that was one of the hardest hitting teams, one of the most physical teams I've ever played. And, you know, they came out there and played great. They played better than us for sure. They wanted to win more than us. You could just tell it. But we just got to be cleaner, got to be sharper. I got to be better. Everybody's got to be better. We had a couple drop balls, but, you know, I could always point the thumb, and we just got to be better.
Bob Pismillo, Center Scoop.
Yeah, Spencer, what was the mood in the locker room post game? You get a win, but there's so much stuff that, you know, you need to clean up going forward.
Yeah, obviously our mood wasn't super excited, but, you know, Coach Riley went in there and got on us for not being, you know, up and having our heads up, because it's better to learn off a win than, like, last year when we learned off two losses. And I'd much rather learn off a win and improve with the guys this upcoming week and just dial in on what we have to dial in practice and just be better overall with our energy. I think our energy was bad in the second half mainly. And, you know, defense played well. You know, they held it down for us when we needed it, but we just got to convert, you know, those turnovers to touchdowns and our field goals. Shout out to Gabe, though, for hitting all those field goals.
Go to Eric Bailey.
Spencer, what did it mean to get some of those newcomers involved? We look at Mario Williams, who had 6 catches. You know, Mike Woods had 4 catches. What was it like just to see those guys and get them involved in the offense?
Yeah, it was good to see those guys, you know, get out there and make some plays. Obviously, we all, you know, they all got some learning to do still, and we do too. But, you know, that's what, you know, I've been through a couple of those last year. You know, we got new guys. We got to get them used to everything. Just a lot of this stuff is new, and we played a new team. You can't really compare that to a scrimmage in practice because, you know, obviously I'm not getting hit. The rush isn't as fast, you know, all that stuff. It's just real football. We got to go out there and just execute our job. And like I said, I could have done better. At times, and we all could have been better, but those new guys did well today.
What were your thoughts on the run game overall, too, the way you guys ran the ball?
It was good here and there. I mean, I thought towards the end of the game when we needed to run the ball, we kind of clicked into something and knew we had to get it, but I think KB did really well today. I think Eric Gray did good when he got the ball, but, you know, obviously we want to be better in every area.
Spencer, thank you.
We'll go to Chandler Engelbrecht. What do you think?
Sorry, someone's asking a question next to me. Spencer, you're watching from the sidelines after Tulane recovers that onside kick for probably what's the most important drive of the entire game. What was the emotion like on the sideline? Marvin just said you guys really weren't nervous. How did you feel watching your defense make that stand?
Yeah, I knew those guys were going to get that stop. You know, we got to believe in our guys, trust our guys, no matter how the game's going. It shouldn't have been that close at all, but, you know, when we're put in those situations, I'm kind of happy it happened early on this year instead of, you know, down the road where all these games matter, but especially down the road. But, I was happy they made a stop, and I was happy we got to get those couple first downs running the rock and run the clock out. You know, not how we wanted it to end, but a win's a win.
Go to Ryan Chapman.
Hey, Spencer, I was going to piggyback off of what Eric asked earlier about the run game. Just having Kennedy there on those last two drives to be able to help close it out for you guys, what does that bring when you've got an experienced guy like that back to the fold?
Yeah, it just, you know, you got trust in him. You know, even though he wasn't here last year, he knows how this thing goes. He's been in a lot of games like this. You know, he carried the ball well at the end and throughout the game. Made a lot of stuff where he should have been tackled, got out of it, and got positive yards out of it. So we got to be better around him, and we got to, you know, trust in him. And he did a good job, you know, converting those first downs, and he played well today.
Parker Thune.
Yeah, Spencer, you said Tulane wanted to win more than you guys. You think that stems from a matter of focus, matter of intensity? What do you think is the root of that issue, and what's the solution there in your mind?
Just their energy. They wanted to beat us bad. And, you know, I think it stems just to us, you know, playing down to our opponent. You know, we can't play down to a team's levels. You know, again, that's a great team. They played amazing. Gave us a lot of tough looks that we didn't expect, and you know, they stuck to what they did well, and they did it pretty well. So, you know, shout out to them for playing well. But they just have more energy than us. We got to have more energy. That's on everybody on our team. We gotta be better.
So from Spencer, let's hear from the boss, Lincoln Riley.
Okay, we'll get started here. You know, first want to just again express our appreciation to Tulane, their university football program, for making this game work under, you know, really, really tough circumstances. Very, very much appreciated to them, and a lot of appreciation and credit to our administration again for getting this thing pulled off. We know this wasn't easy for either side, certainly Tulane. And I thought, I thought everybody did a great job in putting this thing together so quickly. With the game, you know, telling the team afterwards, I think the big things for us are, you know, we're not gonna apologize for winning, but at the same time, we've got to own, you know, the good and the bad, and there were certainly, you know, plenty of both. You know, game got off to a little bit of a strange start. You know, obviously with the pick, and then they take it down and score, and not quite how you dreamed it up after all these months. But then I thought the team did a great job of really responding there throughout the second half, and there were some flashes of some really, really good ball. And then, you know, second half, I think clearly, you know, our team felt like the game was over, and that's you know, that's obviously that's my job, you know, to make sure our mentality was right. I don't think it was. I think we were playing well at that point, and it separated a little bit in the game, and you could just see we weren't quite the same team coming out. And then, again, all of a sudden momentum flips. We had some opportunities to make plays on all sides of the ball. Didn't make enough of them there to separate. Had some dumb coaching decisions, especially mine, to go for it there, backed up on the fourth and one that you know, was just a really, really poor decision by me. I give Tulane credit. You know, I give them credit. I mean, they made a lot of plays. You know, they threw and caught the ball well. The two interceptions we threw were phenomenal plays on the ball. So I give them a lot of credit. They played a lot better than we did in the second half, and their mentality was a lot better than ours in the second half. I'm proud of the way we finished, because, again, when football is always a game of momentum, and when it's going the way it was for us, you got to find your best there at the end. And we did a great job getting the stop defensively, and then being able to run out the clock with the two runs there to finish the game. So, you know, there's a lot we're excited about, plenty that we clearly have to improve, and that's the journey, man. That's what these seasons are about. They never go exactly like you think. You know, it's just you get this kind of litmus test of where we are, and right now we're a football team that shows some flashes of having a chance to be a good team, but we've clearly got a ton of work to do, all of us, if we're gonna reach our potential, and that'll be our goal, certainly going into this next one and the rest of the way out.
We'll go to questions. We'll begin with Ryan Aver.
Yeah, Lincoln. What was the most concerning thing to you about the defense? You know, whether it was there earlier or in the second half, and how fixable do you think those things are? And then what was the difference between that second quarter and really the rest of the game defensively?
Yeah, I would say defensively, they gave us a couple things we had to adjust to in the beginning, and I thought we did. I thought we had a few more busts than we typically have, and that's something we take pride on, is not allowing easy throws. And I thought we had a few too many coverage busts where we just weren't in the right place. Had some opportunities to make plays, had a couple of chances to pick it off where we just simply didn't make the play. We did a great job getting turnovers there, and I think that was the second quarter, kind of first quarters in the first and in the second. But yeah, just wasn't quite good enough. I mean, at the end of the day, we just tackling was at times a little bit of an issue. We played a lot of guys, and I think there's a few guys that rose up and really did some good things, and some other guys that showed that they need a little bit more seasoning. So, got to play great team defense, and we did it at times. But again, I think honestly, any question that you guys are getting ready to ask about whether it's about a player, a side of the ball, anything like that, it's kind of all the same to me right now. All right, again, moments of brilliance, some really, really good things in the first half, but a team that mentally was not prepared to come out in that second half and play the way that we needed to play, and just thinking that, well, the game's over just because you went on a good run there. And so it's got to be better. It's got to get coached better, starting with me, with all of our coaches. And, we certainly let one – almost let one get away from us that had no business happening.
Appreciate it, Lincoln.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, Mike, I can't hear you. You got me, Lincoln?
Gotcha.
Okay. You said you're going to give the same flow of answer, I realize, but I know some positions, some players – carry with them higher expectations, and so I will specifically ask for your thoughts on Spencer today.
I thought decision making overall was pretty strong. Hit a couple of bad decisions, not a ton. I thought it was decision making was pretty sharp. Really, probably the worst decision he had was the check down to Stogner there in the 2 minute drill before half. Other than that. He missed a few throws that he just typically makes, and he missed them. Not only did he miss them, he missed them in places that you can't. And again, I give Tulane credit. They made two phenomenal plays on the ball to pick him off. He was okay. I mean, he was okay. He can play better, and he's going to need to play better. There's things I can do to prepare him better, and kind of prepare the group around him. He had his moments where he was really, really good and gave us a lot of chances and was really excellent at times. But there's certainly a few that we're going to want back, and we're going to need him to play better and get coached better here the rest of the way out.
Lincoln, I know you're practicing in the mornings. Was part of the substitutions today you could see the fans emptying out of the stands. It had to be pretty miserable conditions down there. Was that kind of part of the thinking today too, in rotating so many guys, or is that just going to be the way that it's always going to be here for you guys?
No, I think we've tried to rotate guys a little bit more early just to get a feel, especially this year with so many new guys that are going to have a chance to contribute. So I think it's a combination of that, and then certainly the heat. I mean, there's no doubt about it with the way the game was. We tried to keep guys fresh, which I think. There on those last couple of drives paid dividends that we had some, fresh guy to hand it to and a couple of fresh guys to rush the passer on the defensive side. So, will the reps tighten down as we go? I think that'll be determined by the players. We got a chance today to look at a lot of guys. And if you want to be on the field, then you got to prove that you're going to be productive when you're out there. So we'll get back and review the tape. And there's going to be some guys that rose up and that we probably need to play more. There's going to be some guys that weren't quite ready yet that we need to season a little bit more, and they've got to fight to improve to get more opportunities. So, but to answer your question, I think a combination of all the things going on today.
Gary Trammell. talk about letting down in the second half, usually we think of that in terms of effort and maybe just physical exertion. But is part of that mental? I mean, you had 37 points in the first half. You had 3 points in the second half. What leads to that kind of drop off?
Yeah, Barry, I think all of it. I think certainly a big part of it is mental. No question about that. I mean, it's something as football coaches and players you fight all the time. It's human nature. I mean, anybody watching that game probably thought that game was over at half, including our players. And that's just it's not a good way to look at things. It's human nature that you have to fight. And I think it starts in your mind. I think it is a mentality. And I think when you're not at your best, you make mental mistakes. Your effort is not quite as good, so you're not able to cover up when you do make a mistake. Energy on the sideline, energy in the stadium. I mean, the whole thing, it takes all of that to play great ball. And so we've, clearly it exposed us. I mean, it exposed us and exposed our mentality. And again, if we want to be the team that we think we can be, and we got a lot of work to do in that regard. And when you get the chance to finish people, and we went pretty aggressively there at the beginning of the second half, to try to finish. I mean, we were pretty aggressive with a couple calls. Obviously, I'd love to have the one back now, the one backed up, the fourth down. We were aggressive with a couple of defensive calls, and trying to get that extra degree of separation, and it didn't happen, and it backfired on us. And again, I give Tulane a lot of credit. It wasn't like, we certainly didn't do a very good job in the second half, but they deserve a lot of credit, and I certainly don't want to take away from the job that they did, especially in the second half.
And one follow-up was the sort of the lack of mental focus, whatever. That seemed to be the case even on the onside kick. I mean, that looked like a ball nobody was wanting to fall on.
No, we executed actually exactly perfectly. We didn't field the ball. Guy had kind of the watermelon ball on there, and it was jiggling around, and we had designed it exactly what we do. We try to get it to one of our best ball guys, block the people in front of him, and give him a clean one-on-one shot with the ball, and we did. I mean, that's a ball that we catch, probably 95 times out of 100, and we just happened to hit one of the five times that we didn't, and they recovered. So, no, that was actually – hell, that's one of the better plays we executed today.
John Hoover.
Yeah, Lincoln, you've talked a lot about the mental game today, and you actually used the words mentally not prepared. After all this team has been through, all the hype, the buildup, the offseason that you guys have had, challenges and all that, what's your level of surprise that they're mentally not prepared?
I'm disappointed that we didn't finish the game. Strongly believe in the individuals in that room, the coaches in that room, the players in that room, that there's something really, really good there, but we've got a lot of work to get it out. And these seasons are long, and each moment is such a teachable moment. And so the thing for us right now is, do we learn the lesson? Do we understand? Let's not be blind to the things that went well, and let's continue to push those. Let's obviously pay strong attention to the things that didn't go well, and we've got to address them at all levels. And so I think you'll see us respond. I do. We'll see what happens.
Jesse Crittenden.
Hey, Lincoln, I wanted to ask you about your team's running game today. It seems like it was kind of up and down at times. What you see from both your running backs and using Caleb Williams in that goal line setting today, is that something you guys are kind of looking at as the season goes on?
Run game was, I mean, honestly, kind of like the whole thing. Kennedy had a pretty solid average, 6 yards a carry. So I thought, he ran the ball well. Eric was close to getting loose a couple times. I thought kind of traded, there's a couple times we didn't have good calls. I thought, a couple times we missed a few things up front. A couple times I thought things were fit up pretty good that we didn't quite get it. Disappointed in some of the short yardage run game, especially kind of that little series there, as we mentioned there at the beginning of the third quarter. So, again, kind of like it all. I mean, there were some parts that we're excited about, and it's good to kind of see our guys run live and let them get behind this O-line live. And obviously we believe strongly in running the football, and that's got to be a big part of who you are and what you're doing. And we got to, like every part of our team, a lot of steps to take. Yeah, as far as using Caleb or any other personnel as the season goes on, we'll just have to see how it goes.
Thank you, Lincoln. Yeah, Lincoln, you guys, obviously, you talked about rotating guys in and out, some of the younger guys. Can you specifically talk about some of the guys that just kind of off the cuff before you looked at film that you thought kind of had a good game? And then can you touch on the game that Isaiah Thomas had with the strip, the sack, and all those tackle losses?
Yeah, I thought Isaiah did a good job. You certainly saw him, you know, impact the quarterback several times. You know, and he's a good player. I mean, if he gets one-on-ones, those are times we feel like we're going to be in an advantage. And so he certainly did some good things affecting their quarterback. Yeah, the young guys, I don't know that I would honestly, or the guys we rotated, I don't know that I'd want to single anybody out without watching it. I mean, there were some really good individual plays. I thought Latrell had some really nice plays. I think Clayton came up with maybe a fumble right there in the beginning. There were guys on both sides, young guys that did some really nice things, but I would want to reserve the right to be able to look at the tape here before I go much further there.
Dean Blevins. Dean Blevins.
I was curious about rain got in, it looked like in the second half, wondered his status. And then as a secondary question, what about leadership? It looks like we have some new guys in those roles. I don't know if you can tell anything without, you know, this quickly.
Yeah, Rame had some medical reasons, had to miss a good amount of practice time, and he was battling with Conjul anyway. We got him back here at the end of the week, and we're able to play him a little bit there in the second half. Secondary-wise, no, I think we got some fantastic leaders there. I mean, one of our team captains and, you know, obviously Pat Fields, and, you know, DeLaren's a big leader for us as well. We obviously have some youth out there right now. We started and obviously played Billy a lot, you know, played Cradell a lot. You know, played several different corners throughout the day. So it's a group that's going to have to continue to improve and come together. But we do have some good leaders that I think will continue to help push this group. And it's got the makings of being a really, really good group. So excited about what it can be, but certainly a lot of work to do.
Myron Patton.
Yeah, Lincoln, what did you think of your offensive line? You had some illegal procedure penalties early on, but just the overall play, you had some new guys up there playing.
Yeah, pass pro. I thought pass pro on the day was really good. Run game was moments of being really good, at times a little inconsistent. The big negative, I would say, the biggest negative was the penalties. You know, we obviously had several false starts, and I think it happened at least twice, maybe three times, that we were in a very manageable, like, third and medium, you know, and we false start, and all of a sudden we're in, you know, put ourselves in third and longs. I know it's twice. It may have been three times. So, you know, got to get some things cleaned up. You know, we'll continue to look at that lineup and you know, make sure that we get the best five out there as much as possible.
James Hale.
Lincoln, you were without Theo today at wide receiver, and, you know, he's a two-year starter for you, so that was noticeable. Mario Williams looks like, you know, he's got some great talent. What did you think about how your receivers played? Did they get open like they were – did they run the routes they were supposed to, and how'd they perform?
Yeah, I thought in large part we did a pretty good job. I thought we ran pretty actively. You know, I thought we missed a couple of perimeter blocks that had a chance to be big plays that we'll have to be better on. You know, had a couple of chances to make some plays, especially right there at the end, to end it. At this point, we didn't get that done. But, yeah, I thought there were a lot of good things. We'll say that Weiss had a lower leg injury, and he'll miss at least the first half of the season, and we'll see how it plays out going forward. But certainly plenty of talent in that room. I thought there was a couple guys that did some nice things. I thought Brian Darby, you know, with Drake being out today as well, I thought Brian Darby stepped in and did a really nice job in there. you know. So yeah, there was a lot of good, but it's got to continue to get better.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Thanks, Lincoln.
You're welcome.
Mason Young.
Lincoln, as opposed to last year with only having the one non-conference game because of COVID, what kind of benefit do you see in that return to normalcy of having three non-conference games and getting those game reps before you jump into Big 12 play?
Yeah, I mean, right now, shoot, I'm glad we got them. You know, we got a lot of work to do, so hopefully we can take advantage of them. And so we'll be ready. I promise you that 6 o'clock next Saturday, that stadium in there is going to be jam packed. There's going to be a great vibe in that stadium, and our team will be ready to play.
Ended up being a big game for Sooner standout wide receiver Marvin Mims.
Yeah, Marvin. I think Coach Riley just said that he felt like the team sort of believed the game was over in the second half. You know, did you get the feeling that that was the case? And if so, what do you think caused that mentality?
I believe that we did come in the locker room kind of comfortable, you know, a little too comfortable when there's a second half ready to be played. Not to the point where we didn't go out there and play football or, you know, didn't give our best effort or anything like that. You know what I mean? But there's definitely that feeling.
Go to Eric Bailey, Tulsa World.
Hey, Marvin, I wanted to ask you, just as an offense, how frustrating was it after the defense got the three takeaways just to end up with three field goals and not finding your way into the end zone in those moments?
I mean, it's frustrating. I mean, you always want to get in the end zone no matter who it is. You know, I mean, everyone's happy. I mean, on this team, you know, we play as a unit. Everyone's happy no matter who scores. But, I mean, it was a little frustrating not being able to punch it in.
Sorry, Mike, I can't hear you.
How does this feel after the game? Does it feel – how much of a win does this feel like, 40-35? I mean, I know it's a season opener. I know you learned from this, but what's the general feeling of this football team right now?
I mean, right now, I mean, yeah, we didn't play to the best of our possibilities, but, I mean, we're feeling good. You know, we're coming off a win. You know, it's hard to win in college football. You know what I mean? That's why there's so many upsets and all that stuff that happens, you know, every year, because it's just hard to win a football game. And I think that you know, it's hard for people on the outside to see that, but at the same time, I mean, we won, so I mean, there's obviously something to be happy about.
Marvin, I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Go to Bob Purcell, Sooner Scoop.
Yeah, Marvin, just sort of take us through your day, how you feel things went, and the way that you've been moving inside going into the season.
I mean, I feel like things have been going pretty good. You know, moving inside, I mean, it was a comfortable transition, especially with Coach Gundy. I mean, he recruited me most of the time to come here. So, I mean, we saw eye to eye, you know, even with Drake Stoops being in the room, you know, a veteran. I mean, you know, being with him in the room. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, me, Drake, and Darby being in the same room with Coach Gundy, I mean, there's not much teaching going on. You know, it's more details, and we're able to lock in on the small things. So that's it's a great thing to have.
We're going to Ryan Chapman, SS Sooners.
Hey, Marvin, thinking back to last year's Kansas State game, kind of a similar situation as far as the game dynamic went. Was that something that you guys were talking about on the sideline in the second half of like, hey, need to wake up, this is something that's happened to this team before?
I mean, we've talked about it all year, how, you know, we had pretty good teams, you know, Baker, Kyler, and at some point, you know, they all dropped a game. You know, we talked about it all fall camp, all summer. I mean, we don't want to be at the point where we have to drop a game to learn how to play, not how to play football, but you know what I'm saying, just to take it to that next level. So, I mean, in the moment, I mean, no one was really saying anything about Kansas State and all that stuff that's happened in the past. But at that time, there's different people who spoke up, got vocal, like, hey, we need to pick it up. You know what I'm saying? We can't drop one, especially not the first one, home opener.
Thank you.
I'm good. Justin Martinez, Oklahoman.
Hey, Marvin. Tulane really came out strong there at the beginning, but I thought that play, that 50-yard reception you had, really helped swing the momentum in your guys' way. Just how big of a play was that, and can you kind of just walk us through it?
It was a big play. I mean, at the end of the day, it was a route we practiced over and over again all week in preparation for Tulane. And, Spencer threw it, hit it on the money. You know, I just took off, ran as far as I can. You know, at the end of the day, I mean, they reviewed it out at the one. But, you know, it's still a big play. I'm just happy I was able to put my team in a good position to score.
Go to Chandler Engelbrad, OU Daily.
Hey, Marvin. Want to go back to the end there. After Tulane scored for the very end, they recovered an onside kick, and you and your team, or you and your offense, were forced to watch from the sidelines for basically the most important drive of the game. Take me through watching your defense come up with a stop there.
It wasn't too much of a nerve-wracking situation. Our defense, we know what they're capable of. You know, the crowd came back into it at that moment because it was a big moment. You know, we needed everybody, and the sideline came back alive, and basically we were able to pull it through. And thinking on the sideline, as far as thinking goes, I mean, there wasn't much of a, oh, man, you know, is this going to happen? Is that going to happen? We're more, you know, in the moment, you know, cheering on and stuff like that.
We'll go to Austin Kurt, right?
Hey, Marvin. Just wanted to ask you if there's, you know, was there something you noticed that Tulane did specifically that sort of helped, disrupt the passing game there in the second half, or was that more of an offensive issue in your eyes?
I haven't went back and watched the film or anything. I'm not Coach Riley, so personally, I think it was just an offensive thing. You know, but, we practiced game planned all week. You know, they're really good. I mean, I thought they were a pretty good group, well-coached group. I mean, I can even hear the sideline sometimes, stuff they're calling out, you know, routes they're saying and stuff. But, they're a good group, big physical group. And, we just got to play better in the second half.
Go back to Justin Martinez.
Marvin, you look at what Tulane is going through back home and then also how they fought here today. Just how resilient is the squad?
I mean, it's a great squad. You know what I'm saying? I mean, to get a home game taken away from you, you know, even that, just the point of that, to come here, you know, having them come here, you know, their coaches agreeing to that. I mean, it's crazy. But, what they're going through, I mean, I have family in Baton Rouge. That's where my family's originated. So, they're all going through it too. And, you know, it's hard to see, especially being here where you can't really do much about it. And our conditions aren't, you know, as severe as theirs. I mean, we're living fine in Norman, Oklahoma. So, I mean, for them to come out and play this football game, I mean, it shows a lot about their school, you know, about their program, about their coaching, and the players too, of course.
A few more from Marv, but we'll go to Chandler.
I don't know why my hand is still raised, but I'll ask one anyway. Talk more about your defense overall. What did you think of their overall performance? Obviously, the second half seemed to be a challenge, but how were you making sure they were still engaged?
I mean, the defense, you know, they played their hardest. I'm sure they did. I mean, obviously there were mistakes being made and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, I mean, you know, it's football. You know, mistakes are going to be made. Teams are going to make runs. People are going to do things to get the best hand on on our own team. I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, we're Oklahoma. We're going to get every team's best game. So that's what we got today. We got Tulane's best game.
Well, last one, Eric Bailey.
I'm already wanted to ask you, just how much of a weapon are you guys realizing that Gabe Burkitt is for this football team?
I mean, it's a great weapon. You know, I think we've known that, you know, since, you know, fall camp and stuff. But we're not really kicking field goals and doing drives fall camp like that. But, I mean, even in this game, I mean, Gabe came up big for us. You know, we just got across basically the 50, 40-yard line, and he can put it in there for us, which is a huge, huge weapon. And, he'll be good for us all year.
And an historic day for one Gabe Burkitt.
Hey, Gabe, just the obvious question, the 350-yard makes, first time in school history, just take me through those kicks and just what are you telling yourself when you're setting up for those long ones?
I go through my, like, same things every day at practice. I just go through my form and stuff. But during the kick, I don't think about the kick at all. I just take my mind off football and put myself in a good headspace and just boot the ball.
when Lincoln's making the decision to kick those long field goals, does he come talk to you at all, or are you just waiting for a head nod from him, or what are you looking for when he decides whether to kick the field goal or go for fourth down?
Waiting for him to shake his head and be like, dang, we got to kick it. But
Gabe, thanks a bunch.
No problem.
We'll go to Jason Kersey.
He said you take your mind off football. Is that hard to do in a stadium with thousands of people? And what do you think about instead of football right before those kicks?
It's not too tough, but I've learned throughout the years you can't be thinking about that kick in the moment. It's better. It's all muscle memory at the end of the day. So I'm not going to tell you what I think about, but I take my mind completely off football.
Fair enough. Thanks, Gabe.
Sure.
Go to Parkerton.
Yeah, Gabe, obviously kicking is such a rhythmic craft. And, you know, for you to come out and hit three of the most difficult kicks of your career and then to miss a real short one at the end of the game, what happened on that kick that differed from the rhythm that you've been in on the first four? And just kind of what in your mind went wrong on that attempt?
I think my leg just got tired. Nothing crazy, just a little mishit, but that's it.
Go, Justin Martinez.
Yeah, can you walk us through that 56-yarder? It looked like you had some grass to spare there. It looked like you could have made it from a couple more yards out.
Yeah, I had a good breakfast this morning. I had chicken and pasta. Just went out there, took my mind off football, and booted that ball.
I'll go back to Eric Bailey.
Yeah, Gabe, we just want to ask you about the role that Spencer and Casey play in your kicking game. How important are those two, and just how on point were those guys, I guess, as usual today?
Oh, they play a tremendous role. I mean, they're vets at this point. They know what they're doing. I could trust them every rep, and it's great to have them every kick. And same with my O-line. Thanks to my O-line. I mean, shout out to them. They did their job. So thanks, guys.
Thanks, Gabe.
Parker, you got another one?
Sorry, no, Patrick. I didn't put my hand down. That's my fault.
Justin, you got another one?
Gabe, if you had to put a number on it, about how many extra yards of kicking power does your mustache give you?
All of them. Mustache and a little mullet. That's where my power comes from, the stash. So I'm going to let that thing grow up.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Gabe.
I got one more thing. I mean, my dad's best friend, when we were younger, he told me kicking a football is like parallel parking. So I take that every kick. I just think, let me parallel park this football through the goalpost. So that's it.
Inspirational.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's wrap it up with a little defensive talk. Alex Grinch, the Sooner defensive coordinator, obviously not happy, but does have a positive outlook.
Yeah, I mean, so much of it is just the ability to do your job one more time, and whether it's rushing the passer or covering a man in zone coverage and getting to your appropriate spots and being dying to break on the football or being in man coverage and being in position, on top of receiver. Okay, that's a good spot to be, but you're on top of receiver to go make a play on the ball. And so I think as much as anything else, it's just the ability to make one more play for each individual guy, and then make one more play. And you say, well, it's not that simple, but it was that simple for them. Our opponent, which you got to give them credit. I think that that there were opportunities out there to get off the field, some unique kind of field position situations, and some of the shorter field would create four down situations as opposed to get off the field on third down, which can affect play calling and some of those things. And so we can obviously be better as play caller as well, specifically. I'm talking about myself in that to help the guys out. But it's a 60-minute football game, and I got to do a better job of getting the guys to play all 60.
Appreciate it, Alex.
Yeah.
Kerry Murdoch.
Alex, I'm curious, just when you look at all those substitutions, how much can be too much with that stuff so that it can actually kind of get you out of any kind of rhythm kind of a thing?
Yeah, I think when it's, you know, whatever the temperature was, you know, 95 degrees, something like that, your first football game, you know, are you, and this is me, my message to the defensive staff was we ran our sub too much than not enough. And I thought that was a responsible thing to do. Certainly you always look at that, you know, first football game, you know, some of those things that you have an idea is going to be a real advantage for you, you know, could obviously in some instances prove not to be the case. But I think what I would say is I think the fact that we rotated gave us a chance to finish the football game at the end of the game. You saw some juice by the defensive line at the end. Now, again, might be grabbing a little bit of a straw there in terms of a positive, but there's been other situations in our past where we weren't able to finish that way. So, no, that's something we'll continue to evaluate.
Thanks, Alex.
Sure.
Brandon Drum.
Yeah, Alex, you guys played, you talked about rotating a bunch of guys. Outside of, you know, maybe an Isaiah Thomas, can you think about any of the guys off the top of your heads that maybe had a standout game in your opinion, maybe scheme-wise, maybe position-wise?
Yeah, I haven't looked at the stats. I know, you know, certainly you mentioned Isaiah. You know, Reggie Grimes getting the, you know, sack cause fumble, still is a young guy in the program. You know, his role is more advanced than it was a year ago, which was a good thing. And certainly got some young guys working. Billy Ballman, first time out, you know, being a starter. I think overall, I think we'll say we were pleased. You know, had an opportunity to get an interception. Had a couple opportunities, not just him, but defensively that to get a few more takeaways that way with the ball in the air, but no, I'm certain there's some, but you know what stands out is obviously some of the negatives right now.
James Hale.
Yeah, you always talk about turnovers and takeaways. You know, now you look at the whole game now, those things helped you win the game today. Made some big plays on defense, and even though you gave up some drives that you're probably shaking your head about, in the end you made enough plays to win the game. Isn't that kind of the way your defensive philosophy is? I mean, that's kind of how it goes, right?
No, it is. I mean, you take away any one of those takeaways, you know, we're right. Probably feeling a whole lot worse than we do right now. You know, I think the chief disappointment, obviously, is as you say, okay, what's the expectation? Well, the expectation is to play better, and you know, the credit to the opponent in that way, but. You know, I think the chief thing that I would highlight is three takeaways in the first half, no takeaways in the final 30 minutes, which again, there's that theme. You know, okay, where were the play? You know, did we make the same amount of plays in the second half that we did in the first half? I don't know. My gut says no, obviously, and I think the stat sheet would say no. And so that's just something that, number one, we got to look at. There's adjustments we have to be made. And again, this is, you know, number one as a coach. Looking at how you could be better that way, but no, certainly it was awfully excited to get three takeaways in an opening ball game, and certainly we need them all, and you know that's something that's got to continue for us to have success.
Thanks, Alex.
Myron Patton.
Alex, I remember we talked to you on, I think this was Tuesday. You made a comment, something to the effect you were talking about, do the guys, I don't know if you use the word maturity or not, but those tough practices on Tuesday, Wednesday to get ready, and you seem to indicate what you've seen up to that point you weren't pleased with. Does this get their attention, you think? Was it not a good week of work or whatever? Does something like this get their attention more going into the next game?
Yeah, just talking about being, you know, excited to prepare. You know, it's, you know, are we excited to go win? And are we excited to prepare? And so, you know, you always turn back the clock. I think in some ways it's, you know, it feels like an excuse just to put it all on the kids' shoulders and say they didn't prepare very well. I thought as the week went on, I thought it got better Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. You know, but, you know, the film ultimately dictates whether or not that's the case. And so as a coach, you say, well, I had a great meeting on Friday. Thought the walkthrough on Thursday was tremendous. Well, no, the film on Saturday is going to dictate you know, whether or not that was actually the case. And you know, something was lacking. And you know, again, from a coaching standpoint, you say, okay, what can I do to drive the point home that, you know, our opponents are, you know, scheming against us. You know, our opponents have expectations just like we have expectations. And so, you know, we have to make sure that we're given enough credit to those guys on the other side of the ball that they're going to make plays, and we got to make more. And you know, when, how do you do that? Again, you either believe it or you don't. You do that on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, those hard days, so that when you get in a ball game like this, you can kind of default back to, you know, how you respond in those moments. And so we could be better next week that way. I believe we will. But preparation is certainly the key, and something we got to get better at.
Barry Trammell.
Yeah, Alex, Lincoln said he thought it was pretty clear that everybody came out in the second half having mentally relaxed or thought the game was in hand. Did you see that from your guys at all? If so, what did that look like?
Yeah, I mean, I think, there's certainly something to that, maybe a little bit. I think sometimes when you weather a storm early in the game, if you naively think that that's the only storm that you're going to have, you know, sometimes as a coach, you so badly, want the credit when you're right, and sometimes you wish you weren't so right. And when you explain to the guys at halftime, there's more adversity coming, and the eyes staring back at you, and the heads are shaking, and the head bobbing. I got you, coach. There's been other instances in our past where similar thing has happened, it's a 60-minute football game, and that team across the way is going to fight tooth and nail to find a way to get points and get themselves back in a football game. You got to have respect for that, and also respect that your performance matters all the time. And we talk about it, and obviously not doing a good enough job as a coach to get this thing done. But they don't timestamp. They don't say it's 95 degrees against that film. It doesn't timestamp what the scoreboard is. Your performance always matters. And specifically on the defensive side of the ball, there's only, again, three and out. You get off the field on third down or fourth down in some situations, or you get a take where it doesn't matter what the scoreboard is. There's no other way to finish a football game. Whether we're searching for that, alternate ending or not, certainly we're not getting across and not getting it done, most importantly in terms of, finishing drives, finishing quarters, finishing halves, but I would credit the guys in making a stop at the end. We've been on the other side of that, as recently as last year, where we don't get that stop at the end. So, anyway, long answer, but certainly it's a 60-minute football game. It ain't over at half. Whether we're down or up, and we've been down before too, 28-3 down in Waco, Texas. We've been on the other end of this thing. One of these lessons has to resonate at some point.
John Hoover.
Yeah, Alex, Lincoln used the words mentally not prepared, and I asked him what his level of surprise was. He sounded fairly surprised. You sound less surprised. Did you kind of see this coming a little bit with the preparation you talked about?
No, I don't think I saw it specifically to this Saturday, this specific ball game. I just go back to my 3 years, going on 3 years here. I've been here before. I've had this conversation with you all before. And that's my frustration as a coach. I got to do a better job. That Tuesday practice, what you say, are we really dying to prepare for the first ball game of the year? Or are we just really excited to get a win on Saturday and on to the next one? I certainly thought we played a better ball game. I did, and so I'm gonna be awfully disappointed in that film, but awfully pleased that we found a way to win.
Thanks.
Okay, two more, Kerry Murdoch.
Alex, I think we all kind of wondered how much Caleb Kelly had left in the tank. Obviously, as a Russian, he did some really nice things today. Could you just talk about the development there for him at that position?
Yeah, and I think he's just going to keep getting better and better. I think that's a good fit for him. I think it's going to give him an opportunity to have an impact. It's something kind of late in fall camp when we made that move. And so that's something that I think will continue. His familiarity with adjustments and those things and calls that way are only going to increase as we go. I'm very excited for him. Again, great representative of Oklahoma football and a guy, just in pregame, finally get a chance to coach him and finally get a chance to play for us. So it was thrilled that he's back out there with us.
Okay, Brandon Drum.
Yeah, Alex, you talked about, you know, being excited to prepare and then or maybe just being excited to get a win on Saturday. Can those two be mutually exclusive in your mind, or do you have to have one or the other?
Yeah, I think, you know, are you outcome based, or are you you know, preparation based? And you use the word process. A lot of times people use the word process where you are the process. You know, process isn't out, you know, it's not outside of you. It's not the walls or the process. You're the process. You're in charge of your eyes. You're in charge of your preparation. You're in charge of your thought patterns. That is the process. As much as anything, again, I think it's a good reminder to all of us as coaches in terms of the standard at Oklahoma. And number one standard at Oklahoma is win football games. But how do you do it? And you do it, you either believe it or you don't in terms of the prior week. From a preparation standpoint, the Mondays, you know, more mental, the Tuesdays, the Wednesdays, the hard days, when nobody's watching. Again, crank up the mental work, and physical work goes down on Thursday and Friday, getting your body ready, all those things. Again, you're the process. I'm the process. You know, as a, each individual guy and the collection of it is that. That's the biggest thing. Are you outcome-based? When the scoreboard reads a certain way, are you thinking about outcomes? You know, the fan at home gets a chance to do that. As players and coaches, we better not. In any event, I think we got to do a better job.
Actually, I have one more. Last one, James Hale.
Hey, Alex, the very last series, they get the onside kick. Your defense is either going to win it or you're not. What did you think about how they played? They forced a fourth down. You forced the quarterback a little short. How did you feel like that went?
Yeah, I was thrilled for him. Thrilled. You got to go make a play. That moment, you know, how do you feel? Better not be focusing on that, you know, or what you thought was going to happen during the course of the ball game. You know, we said it several times on the sideline in the second half. You got to go win a game. You got to go win a game. You got to go win. In that moment, that's exactly what it was. And so, I thought the energy, the just relentlessness up front, you know, where was that midway through the third quarter? That's the thing that from a coaching standpoint that I immediately, come back to. Where was those plays in the middle of the fourth that maybe we're not in that situation? Again, not discounting what the guys did, because your logo ain't going to win you a game at that point. You got to go make a play. And find a way, and they end up being a yard short. And as disappointed as I may sound right now, I feel a whole lot better that we made that play as opposed to not.
And Nick Benito on that wild last series in which the Sooners forced a turnover on downs to secure the win.
We'll go to Boppersville, Sooner Scoop.
And Nick, how big of a wake-up call were those first couple of drives, and how did you feel you guys responded coming after that?
I wouldn't consider it a wake-up call. I felt like it was more, you know, us, you know, not knowing what they were going to run. You know, we knew that, you know, they got a new coordinator coming in this year, so we didn't know what to expect. So we knew the first couple drives, you know, we might have to deal with a little something. But, you know, I feel like we adjusted well in the second half. And, you know, fourth quarter, you know, second half, we just couldn't finish. But I feel like we adjusted well to it for sure in the first half.
Good, Jason Kersey.
Nick, I know you guys talk about takeaways all the time. After that first one, and I guess the second and third ones all in the second quarter, what momentum did that give you guys as a defense, Steve?
I feel like it was huge momentum, especially since, you know, the way we started off. You know, obviously they started really hot on offense, and, you know, I feel like those three takeaways, you know, it gave us life, it gave the crowd life, and, you know, we started playing, you know, really, you know, way better, you know, towards the end of that first half. And, you know, I feel like in the second half, those takeaways could have helped as well with our energy and the way we were playing. So, you know, obviously we did a good job, you know, getting those takeaways in the first half. But fourth quarter, third quarter, you know, we got to finish and keep getting those. So.
But Eric Bailey.
And I just wanted to ask you, how important was it for so many young players to get so many today? And in the end, in a fourth quarter game in this heat, how big did that play a role in just fatigue and keeping guys fresh when you do play that many games when it comes to really tight moments like it did in the fourth quarter?
It was huge. You know, it gave a lot of us, you know, time to breathe on the sideline. You know, it was really hot today, so a lot of us needed the breather. You know, we needed time to,
you know, take snaps off and, you know, give some reps to the other guys who we feel comfortable playing with. And, you know, I just feel like it's a huge benefit for us. You know, obviously you've seen, you know, how we played to finish the game. And, you know, I just feel like, you know, just having guys, you know, they're ready behind you, you know, it really helps.
I want to ask you also about Gabe Bergschitz. Just how big a weapon is he for this football team?
Huge weapon. I mean, he saved us today. I'm keeping 100 with you. I mean, you know, he made some timely field goals. You know, he made, you know, really big, long ones. And, you know, I'm just happy for him. This is stuff we see him doing practice all the time. And, you know, it was nothing new to him. It was no surprise for us when he made those. So I'm really happy for him.
Nick, I appreciate it, man. Have a good weekend, okay?
Yeah, you too.
We're going to channel Engelbrett.
Nick, I want to go to that last defensive drive you guys had after Tulane recovers that onside kick. What was said in the huddle before that drive that really made you guys, you know, stand your ground and force the four and out?
Just knowing, you know, we always preach, you know, finishing in the fourth quarter, and, you know, we needed, you know, we know the defense knew we needed a stop, and, you know, I feel like we did a good job rallying up, you know, before, you know, that drive happened and, you know, making sure that, you know, we can finish the game. And, you know, I feel like we all, you know, did a really good job finishing, and, you know, we came out with the win.
Parker Thin.
Yeah, Nick, wondering if you could take me through that play in the first half where you came up with a fumble recovery. It just seemed like the ball hit the ground so fast and you reacted even faster. So what happened on that play?
I don't know. It kind of felt like, you know, one of those, like, Chef Boyardee commercials, like, when we were younger, how it just, you know, like, just rolled around and just come to your home. Like, it felt like one of those. I feel like the ball just, like, just came, rolled right to me, and I was just there to scoop it up. And, you know, thank God, you know, we have that takeaway, so.
I see you got one.
Yeah, I did. Nick, Tulane was 4-6 on fourth down today. I'm sure that's going to be a point of emphasis moving forward. But what happened on fourth downs today, and what do you think you have to do to improve that?
We just got to execute calls. You know, I feel like looking back at it, you know, we had a lot of calls that we busted today, and specifically on third and fourth down. We just got to go back in the film room. We got to look at the mistakes that we made and, you know, just try and correct them so we can, you know, we won't have those mistakes again next game and going on in the season.
And then let's circle back to the offense, our one-on-one with Eric Gray in his debut as a Sooner. Fun to be joined by Eric Gray. What was the first experience for, and a unique experience, right? I know upper level, I know you were in front of some great crowds at Tennessee, but what was the first experience as a Sooner like for you, Eric?
It was great, you know what I'm saying? I've never ran through the smoke before, so that was different. That was fun to do. Just being out there in front of that crowd, a new crowd, a Norman crowd, it was pretty good.
So you got into a rhythm, especially, you know, middle of the first quarter to finish that first half, really got things going offensively. Just how did that feel being part of that, and what do you think you guys have to do to carry that momentum throughout a full game?
You know, it felt great to be out there with my brothers, you know what I'm saying? We've waited a long time to be on the field, so it felt great just to be out there. But we definitely got things to fix, you know what I'm saying? Testament to Tulane, they did a great job. Schemes, our running schemes, running the ball, they did a great job of just really practicing. They did a great job. We came out there and they gave us some different looks, so they did a great job. But we definitely have things to fix this week. We got to get back at it.
Well, first of all, the win's the win, right?
Right.
But to come away with things to work on, is that a little bit more motivating for everyone to say, oh my gosh, if we would have done this or hit that play? How motivating is that?
You know, that's always motivating. You always got something to fix, always got something to improve on. So going in next week, we know we got to get better in order to get ready for West Carolina. So we're ready for it.
You and Kennedy kind of splitting duty all day long. Did you feel fresh throughout the football game? Because it seems like you guys are going to be one heck of a 1-2 punch.
Right. Being able to switch off, you know, it definitely keeps you fresh. When you get out there, you got to kind of make most of when you get it because, you know, you're switching off, so you got to go out there and make the most of it.
And then two final quick ones before I let you get out of here. First of all, you look around and not a lot of dudes in that running back room anymore.
Right.
Does that enter into your mind about, I don't know, taking care of your body, maybe getting out of bounds, getting down? Does that factor in at all for you when you're thinking?
You know, it's definitely taking care of your body off the field, you know what I'm saying, making sure you're in a cold tub, Normatec, things like that. But when you're in a game, you know that it's not many much, so you got to make the most of it. You got to go out there and ball.
Okay, so you had a couple plays today where there's no way you could have seen the human being you made miss. Like, do you just feel that, or is it just something you've always had? Because we were talking about it on the broadcast. We were like, I don't know how he did that.
it's just instinct. You know, I've been doing it for so long, testament to God-given ability and also to my dad who's been teaching me how to cut since I was young. So being able to feel, have that presence of feeling guys when you can't really see them, they're in your peripheral, that's definitely what I have.
And I'll let you go on this. You've been around a lot of football in your short career, but how do you feel this team handle, and I can't believe you say adversity after win, but the adversity of not winning like you wanted to today. What have you seen in these guys?
You know, that's the positive. That's the positive you take away from this game, handling adversity. You know, you get into this type of game with some teams and they fold. But you see us handle adversity, they get the onside kick and our defense goes out there and stops and we get the ball back. You know what I'm saying? So we handle adversity. That is definitely a positive from this game.
All right, so a big week coming up on Tuesday. Toby and I will be live from the Palace on the Prairie for the game plan live. Then on Wednesday morning, you're going to get Lincoln Riley's coaches show. They call it Sooner Sports Talk with Lincoln Riley. On Wednesday, the Huddle Reloaded with player interviews. I talked to some players on Monday. I bring those to you on Thursday here on the Sooner Sports Podcast. And then on Friday, Coach's Corner, as well as the Scene Setter. And then, of course, the Sooner Radio Network postgame show immediately after the Western Carolina game. And a little later, kickoff. 6 p.m. kick, 4 o'clock pregame. Thanks for hanging out with us on the Sooner Sports Podcast. Sooners win. We'll see you on Tuesday. Boomer Sooner, everybody.
This has been the Sooner Sports Podcast, presented by Riverwind Casino, still the one. And by Allstate, proud partner of Oklahoma Athletics. Make sure to get all the latest episodes online right now at Soonersports.tv/podcast. And make sure to follow us on Twitter at OU On The Air. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Sooner Sports Network.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.